You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
This morning I brought a stopwatch with me. I bought this early on in my childhood. Don't know why, other than I think it's really cool to watch that little second hand tick and stop at a tenth of a second. You start it, and you stop it, and then you hit reset. When you want to time something accurately, stop, read the time. I'm going to use it this morning. You won't know why at first. I'm not going to tell you why, but hopefully by the end of the sermon, you'll understand why I'm timing this sermon. So we begin today with a poem by Edgar Guest. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye is a better pupil, more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example is always clear. And the best of all preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see a good put in action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you will let me see it done. I can watch your hand in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there is no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. One good man teaches many. Men believe what they behold. One deed of kindness noted is worth 40 that are told. Who stands with men of honor learns to hold his honor dear, for right living speaks a language which to everyone is clear. Though an able speaker charge me with his eloquence, I say I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Have you ever been disappointed by someone whose actions did not live up to their promises? I'm sure we all have in many ways. I want to share with you a story from my childhood. It's a bit more lighthearted than we've begun. It comes from the collection of comic books. It was just a ramshackle collection of things that I could find or people gave me because I didn't have the money to buy comic books. In fact, I didn't even read them. I thought they were kind of stupid. But I loved to read the ads that were in back or in the middle of those magazines because I always dreamed of having some of those silly little things that they sold and the things that were really largely promoted. And the one that I really wanted most of all, sea monkeys. My boys like to mock me because I love monkeys. I've always wanted a pet monkey, even though I know they'd rather chew your face off than love you. But I think they're still kind of cool. We were in the Netherlands last month and we stopped to a monkey zoo. Not one where they kept them in cages so much. Most of the monkeys were free running in the trees. It was amazing. They came to the food and they knew where they slept at night and they stayed in the trees. Except when the ladies brought their strollers with the children in. Then the strollers were all empty because they knew the monkeys would dive in and search around for crumbs that fell from the children. One lady was a little bit slow as she pushed her child through and the monkey jumped up and was pushing the kid out of the way trying to find the crumbs and she thought, oh, do I save my child or do I save my fingers? So she let him go, and there were no fatalities that day. But it was a pretty cool experience. But back to the sea monkeys, this ad that came in the middle of the comic books. I have the ad at home, but I wanted to read, keep it a little bit more brief. But this is what it said. Just add water. Create instant pets. The most amazing sight you have ever seen. Just add water And the amazing new super sea monkeys, registered trademark there, hatch alive right before your eyes. And then it says, so eager to please, they obey your commands like a school of tiny dolphins. With boundless energy, they romp and play night and day. And then further down it says, since every word you have just read about super sea monkeys, registered trademark, is absolutely true, we ship them to you with the most incredible unconditional money-back guarantee in history, exclamation mark. You must be completely satisfied or keep everything, and upon your request, we will refund your money right down to the last penny, all 125 pennies. And they show a little sketch at the very bottom that most people probably wouldn't catch. Now, I've been a tropical fish hobbyist for over 50 years. I know a lot about fish. And I know now what sea monkeys are. I didn't know then. I really would have expected something to jump out of the box and crawl all over me. They send you a little packet of dust and another packet of salt that you mix in water to make salt water. You put the little dust, which are brine shrimp eggs, and within a very short period of time, the eggs hatch, but you'd have to have a microscope attached to your face to actually see them right before your eyes. And they grow pretty fast over days or weeks, but they certainly don't follow your commands and they don't just romp around with joy. They're little crustaceans. So in a very eloquent and tactful way, they have avoided false advertising by all their little innuendos that they actually place on the side, but it certainly would not match up to the expectations of what the ad implied. And I can list many things that do not turn out or did not turn out as advertised. The Titanic, the Ford Edsel, the DeLorean. Anyone remember the DeLorean? Dippity-doo. We call it dippity-don't, because it didn't. The Vegematic, we had one of those. Tremendous failure. The Pocket Fisherman, very disappointing. The Buttoneer, also had one of those. How embarrassing that was. We can talk about that later if you want to know about it. And then the Inside the Egg Scrambler, which actually wasn't a failure, but why would you even want to do that? But what is most disappointing is when people fail to live up to their own self-proclaimed standards. Certainly I have failed to live up to my promises. I've failed my family, my friends, my coworkers, and I'm sure I've failed some of you in this room. But how about you? Have you ever been that person? The one who talks the talk but does not walk the walk? John, in his book, in chapter 1, says, or James, says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in the mirror and after turning away, goes away immediately, forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. About 4 years ago, a friend of mine passed away. He had lived most of his life confined to a mechanical wheelchair. He was paralyzed from the neck down. He had to operate that by a little straw that gave direction to that chair. He could barely speak in between mechanical breaths that his breathing machine gave him. As a result of his limited mobility, he noted that he had become an observer of human behavior, and he was one of the finest. And one of the things I remember him saying one time, people will remember more of what they see than of what they hear. I wrote that one down. So what I say and what I teach you this morning will have limited impact. But if you saw the way I lived my life, that would definitely be memorable. Maybe good, maybe bad. Let me share with you some controversial, perhaps slightly mythical information that is often taught as fact. In the 1960s, a man named Albert Mehrabian did a study on communication. He had a small group of people, a very selective experiment, and he came to the conclusion that 55% of communication is nonverbal. It is your body language, your gestures, your eye contact. 38% is expression, your vocal tone, your voice inflection, your emotion. And only 7% of communication is the meaning of your words. The study has implied that what is seen by a listener is far more influential than what is actually heard. Now, here's a disclaimer, because this data has been very specific to a situation, very limited subject, and it has been misinterpreted and misapplied by public speakers and motivational speakers since 1966 when this study happened. Even Mr. Mehrabian himself puts a disclaimer on his website that it is often misapplied and you have to really follow what I actually studied and what the outcome is. But as a student of communication for over a decade, I can attest that in general, it is true that we are often more influenced by what our subconscious mind interprets than what we actually hear in many situations. Example, some years ago I watched a speaker who was talking about a failed relationship and how she had overcome it. And now she was saying that I love my husband more than anybody. Nothing can break our love. And a man called her out and said, if that's true, why do you speak with your hands clenched in a fist in this whole speech? Why do you grab the podium? Why do you beat it? Your body language has called you out. And this came from a man who was an expert at body language. Her actions spoke louder than her words. Do you ever hear people talking about their faith, but you're not impressed because they don't reflect that in their life? Do you know anyone who acts disgusted with Hollywood but then continues to go ahead and watch those movies anyway? Do you ever see people who call others out as hypocrites but then they don't follow their own beliefs? What about people who judge the actions or lifestyles of others, then they live reckless and depraved themselves? You know, many will point out those who are addicted to substances or habits, then they hide their own compulsions. There are those who are vocal about corruption in the government, but yet they steal from their own company that pays their check. Does any of this sound familiar? Do I dare ask, are you listed in any of these above? And be careful how you answer that. Because the word of God in Jeremiah 17 says this, the heart is deceitful, above all things, and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. In Luke chapter 10, an expert in the law stood to test Jesus, and he said, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus came back and said, well, what is written in the law? And how do you read it? And he said, well, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you've answered correctly. Now do this and live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked again, but who is my neighbor? And Jesus is never caught unprepared or unaware. He told a parable. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, but when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity. He went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn to take care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three, said Jesus, do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. In the portrayal of this story, dialogue is absent between all three of these men. And they were learned, educated men, highly respected, but they did not care enough to act. Much could be written about their character, about the things that they did, or perhaps more importantly, of the things that they did not do. Because lack of action is action too. We are not called to be perfect. Perfection is a standard only God can maintain. Yet he doesn't need to maintain it. He doesn't need to achieve it because God is perfection. Always was, always will be. We, however, are called to be blameless. Blamelessness is a genuine effort to live a pure and godly life, humbly obedient to God's direction, sincere in repentance, accepting of correction by the Holy Spirit, by fellow believers, and actually from anyone who is justifiably right in what they point out. The Psalms list it out clearly. In Psalm chapter 15, the one whose walk is blameless is the one who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others. Paul reminds us again in the letter to the Philippians chapter 2. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. People will remember more of what they see than of what they hear, because actions speak louder than words. Abraham Lincoln, 16th President of the United States, dedicated the Gettysburg National Cemetery about 4.5 months after the battle at Gettysburg. Perhaps the most famous speech for sure in American history. His presidency was consumed by the Civil War. He could have spoke for hours about his experiences that related to that day's dedication. Yet he said only 271 words. He spoke for about 3 minutes. The man who spoke before him spoke 13,607 words and spoke for over 2 hours. His name was Edward Everett. Nobody remembers Edward Everett. But we all know Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln got to his point. Then he left the platform to go on and continue his business of managing the greatest conflict this nation has ever faced. And then giving his last full measure of devotion to complete it. Even though his words were powerful, his actions still spoke louder than those words. There's something similar about Jesus that we sometimes miss. A practice that constantly marked his ministry on earth. In either the simplest or the most difficult situations, Jesus was a man of few words. Throughout the gospel, he never rambled on about anything. Whether he was dealing with circumstances, confronting sickness, even standing face to face with the devil, he kept it brief. He spoke to a leper. He said, be clean. Then he cleaned that leper. He spoke to a storm and he said, be still. Then he stilled the storm. He spoke to a dead man and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he brought that. He didn't just talk about healing, he healed. He didn't just talk about saving mankind. He went to the cross, then to the grave, then arose, making it possible for all men to be saved. When it came to teaching, he kept it simple. When it came to action, he got the job done. I believe Jesus clearly knew actions speak louder than words. Worship team, if you would please come. Let me share with you one more poem. When the vows of our tongue are forgotten or fade, when we promise or commit but fulfillment is delayed, remember that actions speak louder than words. When we raise standards high yet our own life is a lie, remember that actions speak louder than words. When in thought we confide we're okay with what's inside, yet the world just stares at us amused, because what we say when we think we're okay has caused them to be justly confused. Speak if you wish of what you believe, but watch what you do lest you deceive, because actions speak louder than words. Twenty minutes, 1.5 seconds. I want you to remember this day because you were here when a record was set. The shortest sermon ever preached at the Gateway Church. Can't prove it, but I'm going to claim it. In the first service, I forgot to wind up the stopwatch, so I couldn't figure out what the time actually was. But I got it this time. It's on record. I did it intentionally. I made this an intentionally short sermon. In fact, God spoke to me and said, condense this. And I found out the reason why. Because I wanted to make a very clear and memorable point. Because the way that you and I are seen to live our lives could be the determining factor of the direction of a soul headed to eternity. I could easily end with a long list of how we must be a church or a people that walks the walk. But the Holy Spirit is a far better convincer of that in your heart than I am. So I conclude the task that God has given me today by helping you to embrace this simple fact. And I want you to all loudly proclaim it with me. Actions speak louder than words.
Awesome. Pastor Rocky, what a powerful word. A tough word, right? To be people of our word, not just our word, but to be people of the word, right? We're representatives of the Lord. And just as you were closing, Pastor Rocky, the Lord brought in my heart 1 John 3:18, dear children, let's not merely say we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Words are always very powerful, but man, it's our actions, right? And I think every single one of us in some capacity, we could stand to grow in this way. And the worship team right now is going to lead us in a song, and I just want to invite you to stand up right now. We're going to close, and in our closing today, what I want you to do while we are worshiping is I want you to be quiet before the Lord, and I want you to ask the Lord, in what way do my actions not line up with the words that I speak and ultimately with your word, Lord? As a believer, as somebody who has Jesus, in what way, Lord, do my actions need to change so that my life, the things that I do, the way I represent you, Lord, that it lines up not just with the words I speak, but with your word, right? So let's take time right now as the worship team leads us in this song, Christ be magnified. Let's make that our prayer. God be magnified in everything that we say, but most importantly, in everything that we do. Amen. Amen. Let's just take time. Let's just pray. You're welcome to come up to the altar this morning. You're welcome to stay at your seat. But just take that time and just get quiet with the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.